Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast, a series of interviews with key leaders throughout the industry, all brought to you by the Content and Media team at Newco, a specialist global recruitment and executive search firm.
Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast. Your hosts today are me, Henry Johnson, Senior Consultant, and Sarah Elmer-Dubé, Associate Consultant. And we're delighted today to be joined by Fabio Gallo, the General Manager for Europe and Asia at Vuelift. Across his career, Fabio has always been immersed within the sporting world. In the past, working for FC Barcelona as a Global Business Development Manager, Head of International Business Development for Stream AMG. He then led global business development efforts with DeltaTray, and then he joined as head of product with La Liga Tech before now spearheading the expansion into vital new emerging markets for Vuelift. Welcome to the show, Fabio.
Thanks for having me here, Harry.
Brilliant. So today we'll be talking all things you, people, the content and media industry, and the sports video streaming ecosystem. But to get us started, we always like to ask people the same question. How did you first get into the industry?
Yeah, it's a very good question, actually. And I always say it's quite accidental because I've been starting in this career when I was really young. I was actually finishing my university degrees in Italy in that time. And I started to work for a digital company, which is Tiscali, still there, in the early 2000s. And everything goes from there. So I started as a marketing manager. When I finished my university degree, I saved some money. I did my MBA in Barcelona. And before even finishing my MBA, I did a very good contract with MotoGP, Dorna Sports, as an executive. And then, we did a very good job there. We started up a new video streaming solution, which is still one of the biggest in Europe, which is MotoGP Video Pass. We opened up a new e-shop digitally for the first time. We created a very cool ticketing solution for all the circuits around the world. So we basically reshaped completely the video streaming and digital transformation of the company. And then 2010, I decided to be an entrepreneur for a few years. So I started up my own company. It's a SaaS ticketing company for helping, you know, cinemas, theater, but even sport organization with the white label solutions and go direct to consumer with the, you know, 2D, 3D maps and sell your tickets directly. So helping, you know, small and medium sized companies to transform the game digitally. After that, I've been buyout out and then I've been hired by Groupon as a CTCO, a very, very cool company in those years. There was still Mason as a CEO in the US, and we were doing very well in Spain. We jumped in the rank in the top three after US and Italy. And then I received a call from FC Barcelona, which I couldn't say no. I was living in Barcelona in those years, so I'm clearly a sport fan. And when FC Barcelona clearly call you, you cannot say no. So I started working at FC Barcelona as a digital business manager, like you said before. And yeah, same pretty much the same thing. So we reshaped completely the strategy. We created a small team inside sales and marketing department, specifically designed to distribute the content digitally and to create awareness and business out of that. So we did a good job. And then in 2015, I moved myself from Barcelona to London, where I worked closely to Duncan Burbidge as a Stream AMG in that moment. Actually, the real name was Stream UK yet. And I basically started to work on the other side of the table, helping sport organization, broadcaster, telecos, entertainment media outlets to go direct to consumer with their video streaming services. We set up a team. Actually, it was quite funny. There was no mindset in international environment. So we set up a very international team, people from Italy, from Spain, from France, etc. join us, and we create a very cool culture around it. After that, I've been hired by DeltaTray, one of the major actually player in the industry, in the video streaming industry, but also they do a lot of data tracking, data analysis, and very cool stuff with very big clients. So it was initially was head of digital product. After a couple of years, I've been moved to global sales director. helping again many sports, big organizations like UEFA, FIFA, the Olympic Games, and so on, to create, you know, solution that could go beyond the TV experience. And we were very lucky because we struck very good deals. We opened up even offices thanks to Bruin Sports Capital that actually when I joined, they joined too. So it was like hand to hand on this venture. And yeah, we opened up a new office in New York and White Plain. Then after that in California and Santa Monica, we built up the operation there in the US. We grow a team, we struck very good deals like with the NFL, Fox, etc. And yeah, and then I have been contacted by Ted Leonsis and their team at ViewLift in 2019, late 2018. And I decided to join the team because they were looking for sort of a managing director for the European business. Open up a new office in London, setting up a team, creating, you know, basically from scratch, everything. They had an amazing product, one of the best product I've ever seen in the streaming services. So I said, why not? Why not take the challenge? And then the pandemic came in, and you know what? I'm married with a Spanish woman, and so I decided to go back to Spain where I was living, taking advantage a bit of, you know, a little bit of the confusion about the COVID. So I relocated myself to Spain, back to Spain. And La Liga, as soon as it so, I was, you know, I was living in Spain again. They contact me and they asked me, hey, why don't you join us? We have a new project called La Liga Tech, and we are looking for a CPO, a chief product officer, head of product, that could help us to reshape the strategy, to put help up to build a team around you. And reporting to the CEO was no brainer for me, going back to the sport business, etc. So yeah, that was a very, very interesting journey. And then we sold the company to Sportian, well, to Globant, actually, where they created this joint venture with La Liga. They called it Sportian. And then I decided to leave because my mission was pretty much accomplished. And I went back to ViewLift. They called me the day after and say, hey, Fabio, we'd like you back. We want to rebuild the team in Europe, maybe from Spain. And that's where I am.
Oh, fantastic. No, thank you so much for sharing, Fabio. And what we love about that question is it's never the same answer with anyone. It's always really different. And I think it's so nice to see the monumental steps you've taken forwards in your career. And staying on the topic of your career, I'm now going to hand over to Sarah, who's got a couple of questions for you.
Thank you, Henry. Fabio, what or who has been the biggest influence on your career?
I think there is not just one single person or one single company. There are a few. So I think every company I've been working with, I really had opportunity to learn first and to grow professionally, but also personally. From a personal perspective, I think the biggest step for me in my career, to be honest with you, was moving from Spain to London, where I moved that in 2015. And, you know, I came from Spain, Barcelona. I was working for FC Barcelona. I had my house, you know, my cars, you know, working for FC Barcelona in Barcelona, you're almost a god. So, going back, be more humble and move from one country to another, even inside Europe, is not so easy, right? And start not from scratch, because again, I've been hunted by 3MG with a very good contract and a good position, but still it's a challenge, right? And so that was the more difficult moment from a personal perspective, but I never regretted to take that decision because I probably would never have been where I am right now. And those people actually in London, Duncan, who was the CEO of Stream in those years, and then for sure, Carlo De Marchis at Delta Tre, Gilles Mas at Delta Tre, Andrea Marini at Delta Tre, helped me a lot during my career process. And now I think, you know, at ViewLift, there is a very great management team. So we have Rick Callen, Malik Bamba, etc. They give me a lot of opportunity. They give me autonomy. They really trust me, and they really, you know, grow with my mistakes and trying to get better as a professional first, but also as a person. And of course, at La Liga as well, there was a huge amount of work to do. It's a different culture. Clearly, working for UK or American company is very different from working from a South European company. The way of working, the culture, even the times you spend on meetings, it's very, very different. So it was hard going back to the South European culture for a while, but I think it was able to grow a lot. We built a very good team. Again, reporting to the CEO, it was more probably the most accurate things I could do because I could take the decision faster than ever. And again, they give me a lot of autonomy. People, you know, that work with me, they know me. I probably get better when I have autonomy to do things. And of course, I do mistakes like everyone else, but I try to get better always.
No, thank you so much, Fabian. It's great to hear about how you've lived across so many different countries. What would you say that the achievement that you're most proud of would be across your career?
So from a career perspective, there are different achievements. Probably the biggest one is when we set up a team either in StreamG and then in Vuelift almost from scratch. So I was basically open up the office alone, right? And then hiring, hunting people was a very difficult job. So I get inspired by you guys that you do every day. And sometimes I ask myself, you know, how can you do that? Because it's a very, very hard job and, you know, you have a lot of challenges and there is also a war of talent out there. So specifically with the young generation, that's very different from my generation or even the generation before me. You need really to stay on top of them. So building a team around you, motivated them, educated them, it's probably the biggest challenge I could have. Yeah.
Man, it's great to hear about the success you've had in building that team. I mean, in terms of the best advice that you've been given, what would you say that has been over the years?
Yeah, so there are many advice I can give to people. I always have like a sort of view, right? Which is the two Ds, I call it, design and detail. So I always say to my team, details makes a lot of difference. And we are living in a very competitive world where there is always more competitions, there is always more people that are better than before, there are new technology coming in, and so only things that really makes the difference is from one company or from one person, from one individual to another, is really the details of doing things, right? Which is, you know, small things can really make a lot of difference. And the second one is design. So design in terms of structure, how as a manager or, you know, as responsible for a company, you can structure the team, the business around you, the marketing, the sales, the finance, etc. So all these things is about structure and design, and how you are correct with that, you probably get better results in the short, but also in the long term.
Thank you so much for your insights, Fabian. It's great to hear about some of the key aspects of your career. So it's really insightful. Henry, over to you now onto the key talent topics.
Thank you, Sarah. We always like to talk about talent, Fabio. As we know, it's what we do for a living. And we know that leaders such as yourself have interfaced with it across kind of all of your roles. Across your career, you've led some large teams, and this has been involved in marketing, sales, business development, product. And have you had the opportunity to act as a mentor when it comes to supporting people, kind of emerging talent?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say a very nice story about one individual that I hired. He was really humble young person, which was not coming from this industry, from the video streaming industry, clearly. And I really felt that he was something special. He was speaking three languages. He was doing a completely different job. I hire him, training a few hours, few days, few weeks, etc. And after probably 6 months, he started to be the champion of the company. That for me is really a great achievement. That inspired me and inspired other people in the companies to do the same. And I always encourage, you know, youngest people to sort of copy and paste from people that are succeeding, from people that have experience. And of course, you are free to take, you know, the advice that works best for you. But again, I think the best thing that you can do is really to learn from your guidance, from people that are around you, from the manager around you that are doing well and doing great results in the business.
Totally, no, completely agree. And it's so nice to hear as well that you've had that opportunity to foster someone's growth. We're now going to step into our topic that matters. And this week, that is sports video streaming and how sports viewership has drastically changed in today's industry. Live sports has always been a source of innovation, and now the streaming world is kind of supercharging this. As Viewlift is the full-service digital content distribution platform that empowers the sports leagues, media companies, and broadcasters to really monetize their content through various means, we'd be keen to understand from your perspective, what are some of the impacts you've seen of this shift from traditional broadcasting to streaming within the sports industry?
Well, there is a huge transformation right now in the market. First, the bigger transformation is from a traditional distribution, which was mainly business to business, to a more B2B2C, so business to consumer, or even direct to consumer, right? So, which is what Viewlift is doing, helping, you know, tons of outlets there, like entertainment broadcasters and sport organization, to transform digitally, specifically around the video streaming services. Answering your question, I think the big challenge from broadcasters is probably not to focus only, you know, on video qualities or real technologies around the streaming. There are many things that has to be taken into considerations, from marketings to pricing, business strategies, understanding real the average revenue per users, understanding how you can get better on your quality of services, how you can get better to understanding the consumer behavior and personalized offering, personalized content is clearly very important. So companies like us can help those broadcasters and those companies to really make something very different from what they probably do, not just as from a tech perspective, but even from a strategy perspective or even from a marketing perspective. So we are helping companies with very different sides. We work in NHL, we work with Live Golf, but we also work, you know, with mid-size or even smaller company like the Italian Basketball League or other similar, which they probably don't have the resources to do things alone. And we also work with Technoc then in the US and other broadcasters, helping them, you know, to go launch, you know, different solutions in different markets, because every market is different. You need to know from companies that have offices and expertise in different regions. We are lucky because we are in the US, but we also are hub in Europe, and we have a very big hub in India, so we can help companies according to the geolocation or even to their market penetration.
Totally, and it's such a global perspective as well, where you guys add so much value with kind of those large organizations, but then you do have the smaller, more regional players as well. And it really seems that data analytics are becoming more crucial across the industry. It's definitely a buzzword that we keep hearing. How is Viewlift using data and analytics to better understand viewer experiences?
Yeah, we are really lucky because the company actually started with, we started in 2008 as our own D2C company. That moment we were Snack Films. Snack Film was competing Netflix in the US, was a direct-to-consumer solution, which tended to work on AVOD system, so an advertisement model. As our chairman Talionsis was one of the founder of AOL, so everything was done on advertisement side. And then in 2014, they saw that, you know, they couldn't compete really from a business perspective with Netflix. So they decided rather to get rid of everything, technology, people, experience, IP, etc. They decided to go multi-tenant and helping other sport organizations, entertainment and media companies to go direct to consumer. So in 2015, I actually started to view this. But if you go back to 2008, so we have 16 years of experience. And we have been so many companies, and data has always been one of our key metrics. We actually have a model inside our platform called Dashboard 360. We collect more than 350 data points. We collect real-time data, any type of content data. We collect a lot of marketing data like acquisition, churn. We collect behavior metrics, engagement metrics, which are very, very important nowadays, but also quality of services, conversion data. So we have plenty of data that are visible from any decision makers just inside our platforms.
And I mean, data is such a buzzword at the moment, and I can see why, because I can imagine the value that you can add to your customers through that data collection. And on the other side of the coin, what are some of the challenges being faced by the sports streaming industry at the moment? And then how is Vuelift helping to address these?
So the biggest challenge in the sport organizations is probably how you can have a profit and loss which is going to be in good shape, right? There are plenty of sport organizations out there. Most of them, I would say probably 60-70% of the sport organization out there, they never had to launch a direct-to-consumer video streaming services yet. So there is huge market. But at the same time, they are a very tiny organization. So we are not talking about NFL, MLS, you know, or UEFA and FIFA. We are talking really about very tier two, tier three, and even tier four type of organizations. So when it's about launching or relaunching a service, is always about product, but resources. How much resources, you know, they are willing to put? How much resources the vendor will put about it? What could be their marketing strategy? And how Vuelift in this case can help you with your marketing strategy? How can Vuelift is helping you to set up your business strategy from a pricing perspective or from a business model perspective? How you can tackle the Indian market or the Brazilian market versus the US, UK, or Spanish market, right? So all this tactic, all these things, as you know, that's what we call when there's one slide I really like in our deck, in our pitch deck, says we are more than a tech platform. It's really this, right? So we are much more because we have so much expertise, not just by me, but specifically by the team behind me, the management team. Have a lot of expertise on helping organizations to thrive and to succeed, and specifically and above all, more important, to make money and have a positive profit and loss.
Definitely, it's a huge factor as well on that profit and loss side of things. And you may not be at liberty to say, but we always like to ask, how is Vuelift leveraging any new technologies to stay ahead in the industry?
Yeah, we are talking about a lot of artificial intelligence, etc. I think, and blockchain too. I think that those two areas are something that we are really looking very closely. We actually, everything that we do is our own IP. So if you talk about having a very strong recommendation engine or personalization engine, I think that really matter. And it's based on machine learning algorithm that we created and our team created to help companies, you know, that have thousands of hours of video library to really have very good recommendation engine like Netflix. Like sometimes Netflix doesn't recommend us, you know, probably the right content. So so they are doing mistakes like everyone. Yeah, so we are working towards different projects in artificial intelligence. We also working closely with many partners, whatever is the cloud partners or a fan engagement partner, you know, or, you know, an advertisement partner. So we are trying to innovate on that specific area. But we also like to hear a lot of feedbacks from clients. So we believe that we need to have conversation with our clients on weekly or monthly basis to collect all the feedbacks, to collect these feedbacks and use as innovation starting point for our journey. So we have a lot of roadmaps depending on, you know, even the geolocation, like we said before. It's not the same launching a product in India. It's not the same launching a product in the US or Latin America. So you have to be, you need to understand what are the struggles in each countries. Innovation is great when it's about UK or Western countries. There are still many, 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 many countries in which having a proper video streaming is just about having the video quality right, which is the basic things when you do streaming service.
100%. And I think it's going to be really exciting if we fast forward in 3 years' time. I think our conversation would be very different in terms of how AI has leveraged new technologies. I think it will be shocking, but at the same time, really, really exciting. Thank you so much for sharing on that topic, Fabio. I'm now going to hand over to Sarah, who's going to talk us through our quickfire round.
Yeah, so now we're going to the quickfire round. So don't give it too much thought. Think on your feet and choose the answer that you resonate with best. So beginning with city or country.
Say again, sorry.
City or country.
City.
Netflix or Disney Plus.
Netflix.
Plane or train.
Train.
What was the last movie that you watched?
Last movie. I watched so many movies. I think Equalizer 3.
Great choice. Mountain peaks or a bright sunny beach?
Bright sunny beach, always. I'm in Spain.
Of course. And what is your favorite game or sport to watch and play?
I love basketball. I was a basketball player and I love watching basketball matches.
That's great. Would you rather ride a bike, ride a horse, or drive a car?
For sure not horse. I'm very worried about horses, but I love cars and love sports cars.
When you are flying, would you choose the window seat or the aisle seat?
Aisle seat, always.
Morning
I'm a big
or...
fat, so I need more space.
Would you rather the morning or the evening?
I'm a morning person, yeah.
If you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Pasta carbonara. That's my choice.
I would choose very similar.
Not very healthy, but still, I will eat that.
Very tasty. Well, if you could live anywhere, where would it be?
You know what? I really enjoyed Maldives. So I will probably live in a small island in Maldives with very few people around me, good food, good fish, and more importantly, very good sea.
Yeah, some peace and quiet. And I guess linking to that, what is your favorite family vacation?
So my vacation has been changed now. I have a very small kid that has a year and a half now. So everything changed. Before, we used to go to boutique hotels and, you know, spend very nice places, etc. Now we need to go to family places. So we've just been to Canary Islands, and actually I really love it. Canary Islands is a very good place to live. Good temperature pretty much all year round.
And friendly people as well. Well, thank you so much, Fabio. It's great to get more insights on you. So now we're moving on to one of our final questions. So what is one piece of advice that you would give to someone entering the industry?
Yeah, you need to be very, very hungry. Hungry of doing things. You need to be extremely hungry of money as well, specifically if you're in sales or marketing. It's important to know the numbers. I saw many young people that are jumping, not just in our industry, but in other industry, and they are not able to make numbers. They don't understand profit and loss. They don't understand accountability. And I think even if you're not an accountant, you need to run your numbers. And that's, for me, is very important. Unfortunately, we live in a world in which everything is about numbers. So the first thing is that. Second is, again, to be very motivated, very humble, and like Steve Jobs said, also very hungry. So, and that really is, you know, I want to hire someone in my team. So I normally don't look too much at the CV. I more importantly look at how they're motivated, why they want to join us, and what they can bring to us, and not maybe in the short term, but what can it could be bring us in the longer term. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Well, Fabian, that now takes us to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for all your thoughts on our topics here, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
It was really nice. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and give us a rating. It really helps these stories to be found and enjoyed by more people. For more information about NewCo, we can be found at www.newco-group.com. That's NEUCO-group.com.